Turning in our Bibles to Job chapter 23, you remember at the start of the year, we used verse 10 for our theme verse of the year. It's amazing, we always tell people whenever you're going through the end of the year or halfway through the year, always go back to that verse that is particular at the start of the year where the congregation pray over. And so we'll visit this passage again, but I want to look at a different verse in this passage in Job chapter 23. The word of God says in Job chapter 23, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps his way, have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off from before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Today I want to look at the subject of finding God in times of trouble. And that is what Job is in this passage. And in his time of trouble, he seeks the Lord. And so with God's word before us, with that thought in mind, we'll ask the Lord to give us help just now. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, we rejoice, O God, thou wilt perform the thing for our lives. We rejoice, O God, and thank thee that thou dost know the way that we take. And when thou hast tried us, we shall come forth as gold. Father, we rejoice that our steps are known by thee, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Father, we know not the way which thou dost lead us. We know not, O God, for the certain things which thou hast permitted in our life at certain times. But, O God, we know that all these things are for thine honour and our good. Father, thou dost do all these things, even to show us thy goodness and thy grace. And, Father, we pray even just now, if there be any in a time of trouble, if there be any in a time of perplexity, anxiousness, whatever that may be, help us, O God, to seek thee at such times. For we know, O God, that thou dost not plead against us. But, O God, we rejoice we have an advocate with thee, even the righteous one. Grant us help now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's clear from Job chapter 23, verse 1, that all that Job says in this chapter is really an answer to the accusations given to him by Eliphaz in the previous chapters. Really, most of the book of Job is taken up by three men, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar. And these men bring accusations against Job that all the troubles in Job's life, all the trials that he experiences, according to them, is because of sin in Job's life. Some secret sin that he has not confessed. And therefore, they're bringing accusation against him time after time that God has allowed this because of sin in your life. And how many today conclude the same, that if a Christian suffers persecution or trials of some sort, they put it down to sinful living. Now, let me just say, if there is unconfessed sin and continual flirting with sin, then trials are to be expected. But such trials are to cleanse us and to restore us back to God. And even as we learnt on Wednesday night in our Bible study on the faithfulness of God, that even when God permits things in our life, he does so in faithfulness, not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to restore us back to himself. And that's why we learned on Wednesday night in Psalm 119, verse 16, when David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." And so there are times if there is unconfessed sin, then troubles are expected. But that is not the case all the time. The Lord permits certain trials in our life, just as he did in the case of Job, in order to try and to test Job, to have that closer walk with him, and to show that Job was a man who walked with God. In times of suffering, whenever the Lord permits things in our life, it is to prove us, to test us, what is in our heart. What will we do? Will we continue on seeking the Lord, or will we turn away from him? And in the book of Job, that is Satan's accusation with Job, especially in chapter 1, that Job only seeks your face. Job only serves you. Job is only faithful to you because you bless him. You do good things to him. But you take away those blessings. You permit trials in his life, and Job will curse you, and Job will turn on you. And so the Lord permits then certain situations in Job's life. But Job does not curse the Lord. Rather, Job blesses the Lord. And you have many wonderful messages, many words of wisdom from Job in this book and in his life, that when you go through times of trouble, what you are to say, how you are to respond. Even Job's wife said to him, "Curse God." But Job could not. And Job can say in answer to his accusers, an answer to the trouble in his life, as we read in verse 10, "But he," that is the Lord, "knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so we come to this chapter, and it is a chapter in Job's trial, in Job's distress. And Job does not turn away from the Lord. If you want to put it modern terms, it's, "Well, that's me finished my church, not going back there at all. That's me missing God's house from now on. That's me not reading my Bible anymore." That's not what Job says. Job in his trouble, Job in his trial, draws closer to the Lord. And he wants to find his Savior in the midst. And Job has a great blessing. So notice four simple thoughts. First of all, there is Job's distress. Verse 2, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavy than my groaning." The word "stroke," if you have a margin in your Bible, it reads the word "my hand," or "my hand is heavier than my groaning." So the hand or stroke is used in reference to the calamity that comes upon Job, whatever Job is facing, the trial that he is going through. The affliction was the hand of God, that God permitted certain things to come upon Job. But Job says in all of this, "when he hath tried me." And so Job knows that God is trying me. God is testing me. And through this test, I will pass it because I will come out as forth as gold. Again, in answering another one of his accusers, Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will trust in the Lord. Whatever he brings in my life, whatever he permits in my life, I'm not going to turn from him. I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to speak against him. Rather, I will trust him. I'll still depend upon him. While I may not understand it, while I may not fully grasp everything that God is doing in my life, yet I will still trust him because his way is perfect and he knows the way that I take. Job, as he speaks in this chapter, chapter 19, verse 21, he says, or in chapter 19, 21, he says, the hand of God hath touched me. And so Job speaks at this time of distress as if he has lost the presence of the Lord. It's certainly a testing time. He's had all these people coming to him, trying to turn him against the Lord, and there's sin in your life. And so this is a challenging time for Job. He says in verse 8 and 9, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. And so this is a time of distress in Job's life. And yet the Lord permits it. The Lord allows Job to go through this situation because how will Job respond? And we learn that Job still trusts in the Lord. Now we learn that every distress in the book of Job is different from another. Just as our life, we may go through times of trials, distress, and each one will be different than the other. But God gives grace. Some trials and troubles, they last longer than others. Some are as the potter who has the clay and goes down deeper and stretches wider in order to make that vessel a vessel fit for the master's use. And so our heavenly potter, the Lord Jesus, does the same in our life. Times he presses a little harder, goes a little deeper, stretches us a little wider. Why? All for his purpose, to make us vessels fit for the master's use, in order to encourage other believers that when you go through a trial, when you go through what Job's going through, how do you handle that situation? What do you do in that situation? And if you look at Job, Job can say, I went through a hard time, a testing time. It brought me low. It was great distress. But I trusted in him. Again, chapter 19, verse 8, answering another one of his accusers. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths. You may feel like the people of Israel in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, when they said, my way is hid from the Lord. And so, to lose a sense of the Lord's presence. Now we learn and we know the Lord will never leave nor forsake his people. But there are times when we go through trials and troubles that we feel we've lost a sense of the Lord's presence. And we come away from prayer troubled. Did God really hear my prayer? Sometimes the expression is used, you feel like you're praying just the fresh air to a thin wall because you feel, am I really getting through to heaven? And those are real phrases that people use and real feelings. But we always must remember, the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. But the Lord does permit certain trials in our life to test us. What will we do? How will we respond? Like Jacob, he said, all this is against me. Or David in Psalm 42, verse 6, my soul is cast down. And therefore, believer, at such times of trouble, at such times of distress, we learn from Job, keep your eyes upon the Lord. because the Lord never takes his eyes off you. Keep seeking the Lord in prayer, because the Lord never stops praying for you. Again, verse 10, he knoweth the way or the path that I take. Verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Verse 10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so learn that whenever you cannot trace God in your times of distress, note, you can always trust the Lord in your times of distress. He knows all about you. He knows how long this trial, this testing will take. And while you don't know the way ahead, while you don't know what's around the corner, he does. And we must learn that he leads, he guides, he directs us. And so Job in this chapter, yes, is in a time of distress. But what we learn in this chapter, how Job handles that time of distress, how Job handles this anxiety. He doesn't run away. He doesn't flee away. Rather, he wants to draw closer to the Lord. And Charles Spurgeon said this one day, anything that makes me pray is a blessing. Anything that draws me to the Lord is a blessing. And so this time of trouble in Job's life draws him to the Lord. Notice, because secondly, Job's desire. He says in this trouble that he desires to find him. And that him in few is Job's Redeemer. Again, in chapter 19, verse 21, Job said, my Redeemer liveth. And that word liveth is in the continual tense. And so you can read it that way. My Redeemer is living. Job understood the gospel. He believed in the death, the burial, resurrection, and return of his Redeemer. Job believed his Savior represented him in glory. Job believed his Savior lived for him and continually prayed for him. And therefore, the answer to every distress is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who taketh the burden away. He gives and he takes away. That's why we are to cast our burden upon the Lord. And that whole phrase means whatever the Lord gives to you, you are to give it back to him. And that's what's happening with Job. The Lord has given him a trial, tested him. But what's Job going to do? Is he going to carry it all around him the rest of his days and just backslide and fade away? No, he seeks the Lord. He draws near to the Lord. And that's what you are to do, child of God. When the Lord places a burden, a situation in your life, whatever that may be, financial situation changes, your health changes, your house changes, whatever that change may be, the Lord is working in your life, testing you to trust him a little more. But you're not to keep that pressure upon you day by day. Rather, you're to give it back to him. And so Job says, that I might find him. I desire to get to him and leave this with him. And so here is the fundamental principle for Christian living. When you feel you're stuck in the Christian life and you feel you're in a time of distress, focus your mind on what and who you know to be true and unchanging. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because while all may change, Jesus never. Glory to his name. Answer earth's troubles with heavenly truth. Look at situations from the scripture. Though there was great distress and great trouble in his life, Job's desire was to find the Savior. To find the Savior in the midst of his trouble. And what a testimony that is by Job. God tries him. God tests him. And you read through the book of Job and see how these things happened, all the things that happened to Job about his family dying and being afflicted with sickness and all the rest. And yet we learn through it all, here is a man who wants to seek the Lord. I say that because I know in my time, every situation is different and we're sensitive to every situation. But I know people who a loved one has passed on. And it seems to be whenever that loved one's passed on, that's them finished with church. That's them finished as far as going on with the Lord. And it shouldn't be. I know you say you have to be sensitive and support, and you have to be careful as well. But here's a man who went through tragedy, and in it, he wanted to seek the Lord. He wanted to draw near to the Lord because he knew the Lord could comfort him. The Lord could try him, and the Lord would comfort him, and the Lord would help him. Again, Job never allowed this testing to hinder him from going on with God. Job 1:21, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job wanted and he longed for the presence of the Lord. He longed to be near his Savior. He had a hunger, a desire to seek the Lord, because he knew without the Lord he could do nothing. And that's what the Savior taught his disciples later in John chapter 15. Without me, ye can do nothing. And that goes through every situation. Yes, that may have been context of serving. Whenever you serve the Lord, whatever you do, without the Lord, you can do nothing. You can have the greatest preacher in the world. You can have the best sermon in the world. I could go to one of the great men and say, brother, could you give me one of your messages to preach? Because I know if I preach it, it'll be good that week for the first time ever. But that will not make a difference, because unless the Lord is there, you have nothing. And you can have the greatest preacher and the man with 500 people in a church, but if that man is not walking with God, the ministry will not flourish. So without the Lord, we can do nothing. But that counts financially, health-wise, everything. Without him, we can do nothing. And in times of distress and bereavement and grief, that is equally true. Without him, we can do nothing, because he's the one who comforts like no other. He's the one who draws near like no other. He's the one who comes close as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so here's Job's desire in his distress, that I might find him. And I trust when you go through your time of distress, your first thing will be, I need to seek the Lord. I need to find the Lord in this matter. But notice, thirdly, Job's direction. Verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. Now, these words are good because it helps us to think of what we've already learned in the tabernacle. But notice those key words. Where? Find him, his seat. All three are connected. Job desires to find the Lord, that I might find him and come to his seat. He longs to know the presence of God. He longs to commune with God. He longs to hear the voice of God again. But Job answers his question, where I might find him. And then he says, even come to his seat. Where can the Lord be found? Where is Job to go to? At his seat. And the seat in view is the mercy seat. It is the place of prayer. It is, as we learned this morning, to come to a throne of grace and a throne of mercy. It's to come to that place of fellowship, that place of communion. He knows his Redeemer liveth. He knows he's one who prays for him now in his distress, that I might find him, that I might even come to his seat, that I will get to the place of prayer, that I will get to the place of communion, that I will pour out my heart before him at his seat, at his throne of mercy, at his throne of grace. And that is amazing. Why is that also amazing? Because it was years after Job that God gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle. And we learned that, don't we, in Scripture, about that pattern given to Moses. And yet here's Job speaking already about a living Redeemer. Here's Job already speaking about a seat, a throne, a place of communion where he can come to. And later, God gave Moses that pattern for the tabernacle. And as we learned this morning, the mercy seat, the place where the sprinkling of blood, where God will fellowship, commune with his people. It all centers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned, didn't we, the word mercy seat means propitiation, atonement. What does propitiation mean? It's the turning away of God's wrath against sinners who believe on Christ. What is atonement? It means to cover as not to be seen. So whenever we are in our sin, the blood of Christ atones. It covers over our sin. That whenever God looks upon us, he does not see our sin, but he sees the covering. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we are accepted by him, because of Christ. And so Job says that I might find him and come to his seat, come to the place of the shedding of blood, come to the place of atonement, come to the place where God hears and answers prayer, that I might find him, that I will come there to a throne of grace, a throne of mercy, and call upon him. Job knew that he had access and approach to God in prayer. Because isn't that true? One of the first things we do, apart from maybe skipping church, but when we go through troubles and trials, we go through, how can I sort this out? What can I do? Who can I contact? Who can I ring on the internet searching for all these things? But prayer is one of the last things to be done. In fact, some people may even say, well, have you tried prayer? Well, yeah, but let me do all this first. But Job knew to get to prayer first, to go to God first. I'm not saying these other things shouldn't be done, but I'm saying, Lord, you go there to prayer first and pray, God, give me help to sort this matter out. Lead me, guide me in this matter. Send someone my way or put me in the right direction, whatever that may be. But coming to the Lord first, Job knew in his distress, he knew he could approach God. He had access to God because his faith rested in his Redeemer. He trusted in the person and in the work of his Savior. And he knew he would come to a throne of mercy. And he knew he would find acceptance there. And therefore, believer, I encourage you to learn from Job. When you don't feel, this was always taught to me by Mr. McLevin, when you don't feel like praying, still pray. When you don't feel like coming to the place of prayer, still come to the place of prayer. Because when you come to the place of prayer, you're coming to the mercy seat. You're coming to the place of communion where God meets with his people. When you feel you've lost your way, when you feel you don't sense the Lord's presence, you're so perplexed by this trouble, then come to prayer. Because the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't fall away, don't fade away, don't go away, but come to prayer. Again, Hebrews 4, verse 16, we learned this morning, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. When you come to the mercy seat, when you come to the place of prayer, when you come to that place where God meets with his people through Christ, you will know help from heaven and you will know the blessing. Job was in distress. And in his distress, he desired to find the Savior in his distress. And because of that, he then came to find the Savior. It was his direction to go to the place of prayer. Again, you read chapter 1, you have Job there praying. And again, Job offers up that sacrifice and he prays for his family upon the ground of the precious blood. And so Job was a praying man. Finally, Job's delight. Verse 6, having his mind directed to the mercy seat. Verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he will put strength in me. That's why you come to the Lord in prayer in your trouble, because he will not plead against you. He is not against you. Rather, he will put strength into you. The mercy seat, remember, it's the place where God's wrath has been turned away. The precious blood covers over sin. Christ's blood avails for his people. And therefore, sins covered by the blood of Christ can never be sins rediscovered or replaced again on that person. They have all been fully forgiven and put away, never to be remembered no more. And therefore, the blood that continually pleads for you in heaven will never plead against you on earth. The propitiatory work of Christ was Job's delight. Oh, that I knew, Job, verse 5, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me? And the word plead means to strive against. It means to be contentious towards. When I come to him in prayer, will he plead against me? Will he be contentious towards me? No. Rather, Job says, he will put strength in me because of this union, because of this relationship. In fact, if you have there the words in the Hebrew margin, he will put strength in me, it reads, he will take note of me. The idea means that God, his thoughts would always be towards Job. And that's backed up by the words, he knoweth the way that I take. He's continually thinking about me. He's concerned about me. Isn't that right? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's the same word. He is concerned about you. And so Job says, when I come to him in prayer, when I come with my burdens, my worries, my anxieties, will he plead against me? Will he be contentious towards me? No, because I come through the precious blood. And therefore, he will put strength in me. He will take note of me. He will remember me. He will consider me. He will help me because I am his child. He tests me. He tries me. He loves me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And no matter how much he puts upon me, no matter how long the road may be, trial after trial after trial, I will still trust in him. And in every trial, I will still desire to find him in the midst of that trial, to see, to learn what he is doing. And I will come to his seat. I will come to the place of prayer, because that's the place where he hears and answers prayer. That's the place when I come to him with my concerns, he will be concerned for me. Believer, what a delight. No matter how dark the trial, how severe the test, the Lord never takes his eyes off you. He never slumbers nor sleeps, but he lives to guard, to protect, to pray for you. And I pray that when you go through a hard time, a challenging time, whatever that may be, you know that yourself. In that distress, desire to seek the Lord. And put yourself in the direction, like Daniel. Whenever his enemies came against him, he put himself in the direction towards heaven to seek the Lord in prayer. And then the delight that you'll have, he will put strength into you. He will consider you. He will guide you. He will bless you. He will help you. And you will come forth as gold. The Lord's working in us. And as we learned on Wednesday night, God is faithful. And in all the faithfulness of God, everything he does is for our good and his glory, that we will see him to be one who is loving, who is good, who is faithful, who is kind, one who does not change, one who is always there. And that's what Job found throughout his life. And you read the end of the book and you see how God blessed him and God undertook for him. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake.